sojourning here. You're just passing through. So whomever you touched is going to be touched. Whomever you blessed is going to be blessed. So what we have is not ours. It's not yours. It's God's. Because you gave your life to Christ. And when you give your life to Christ, you give everything you are, everything you have to Him.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And once you think about that, then you don't tire out chasing money. You don't tire out chasing things to get things done. You say, Jesus, help me.
Yeah.
Help me, Lord. Because one word from you can change everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I am what I am because I belong to the great I am.
Amen.
And that gives me great peace because I don't have to perform. I don't have to be somebody I'm not. All I have to do is be what He called me to be. Am I there yet from what He called me to be? No. But guess what? I'm not what I used to be. I am that I am because I belong to the great I am. So we're going to take a look tonight, and I'm going to read a lot to you, but keep this in mind that these things that are descriptive, these things that are, it talks about the beast, these things, it talks about a beast with seven heads and 10 crowns or seven heads and 10 horns. And when those things, it's not talking about a literally beast. There's not going to be a literally beast crawl out of the sea. It's talking about kingdom, so we're going to talk about that tonight. And I think it's nice that you know this because the few of us here, the Bible always talks about a remnant. And I'm telling you, Wednesday night is a remnant. You are a remnant for this church. This church will never, ever be hid under a bushel. You know why? Because you're the remnant. And you'll not let this church die. You will let this church be going out and telling them about this church. Not that it's about a church, but it's about God's house. It's
Amen.
What He did for you.
Amen.
And that's very important because when we lose sight of who we are in Christ, we lose sight of what we're supposed to do in Christ. And when we lose sight of what we're supposed to do, we become neutral. And if you're neutral, you're going backwards. Just put it in neutral sometimes and see what happens.
Yeah.
So we have to keep our eyes on Him, be aggressive, press towards the mark of the prize. What is the prize? It's our holy calling. It's our eternity. This is not eternity here.
Yeah.
There's death here. If you can smell death here. Because everything here is dying. Everything in heaven is alive and vibrant. Life. I wanted to share with you, I had a co-worker lost her daughter. When she came to work, I give her a hug and I says, honey, I don't know what to say to you. I just know that you hurt. I said, because I could have been in your place. And I said, God saw differently, but see, I'm compassionate to you. So anything I can do, I want to help you. She looks at me and she's saved. But see, you're not in her shoes.
Right.
You don't hurt like she hurts.
Right.
So when your child hurts, you are hurting. She says, where's my daughter? When she asked me where her daughter was, I told her in heaven with Jesus. I said, heaven is a real place, 1,500 miles square. Heaven's a real place, and it's coming down. It's coming down on earth, and your daughter's going to reign here on earth because she's living with the King. How fortunate and blessed and envied is she because she's with the King. So the only reason why we feel bad because that void's here and we have to stay here.
That's right.
Paul says, I would rather be with Him than the Lord. Why am I sharing all that? Because I think sometimes we need our perspectives put in line. We just get them out of perspective because things have happened to us and are traumatic. They will change us. If we let them change us. But we got to keep our eyes on Him so that we can do the work of the ministry. Because hell is real. Just as heaven is real, hell is just as real.
Right.
So, and I don't want nobody to go to hell. It's forever. If you'll turn to Revelation 13:1, please. And I'm really anointed because I forgot my reading glasses and I got Pastor Jack's glasses on. Amen. So if I get a little loud tonight, And praise Jesus, it's Pastor Jack's fault. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Revelations 13, 1. I'll probably do two parts on Revelation 13. It's a little long, but there is a foundation I have to build tonight. And probably by the time I get through the foundation, you know, we'll see where we're at. But we're going to go read Daniel as soon as we read the Revelations 13, 1. This is the beast out of the sea. This is John's vision. He says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as a mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power of a lion." My eyeballs just skipped over here. "And his mouth was as a mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority, and saw one in his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, or 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and that dwell in heaven." John is seeing this vision. Some thought that the pronoun I in the verse 1 is Satan speaking, but John is referring to 40 times before this and 35 times following this with the same pronoun. And he is one observing this event. The beast rising up out of the sea must be treated as a symbol. The number of things which pointed out concerning the beast, including the head, was wounded and healed in chapter 17 following. The sea, and this is where you got to get these things and build them together in your mind. The sea, the sea is symbolic of peoples. You know, when it says that in heaven you can see a sea of glass, that's actually all people worshiping God. That's why you hear thunders and light. That's worshiping. Billions upon billions of people. The beast has reference to the rise of a kingdom, and particularly the Antichrist. The earthly head of this kingdom, also symbolized by the beast, is a supernatural spirit coming out of the abyss. That's what symbolizes. Beasts are sometimes used in scriptures as symbols for kingdoms and kings, like in Daniel 2, Daniel 7, and also for controlling supernatural powers of the kingdom. There is much interest and speculation as to the identity of the Antichrist. Many infamous political leaders of the past have been thought to be the Antichrist. The unfounded speculation has been harmful, as many people have become skeptical of prophecy because of that. The positive identity of the Antichrist will not be made until he personally makes a covenant with Israel for 7 years. While we cannot know in advance who he will be, there are indications regarding the area from which he will come. I found this interesting. There are two visions that cover the Gentile world powers from Daniel's day to the second coming of Christ in Daniel 2 and 7. The image in Daniel 2:32 with a head of gold and the lion, Daniel 7, symbolizes Babylon, which was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. That was ahead. The Medo-Persia is symbolized by the breast and arms of silver on the image and the bear. The old Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great followed the Medo-Persian kingdom in time of the Gentiles and is symbolized by the belly and the thighs of brass. This is what he's seen in his vision. And the leopard, symbolized belly and thighs of brass and the leopard. The old Roman Empire follows the Grecian Empire. It has four divisions. It is symbolized by the legs of iron on the image in Daniel 2. And the nondescript beast. And it continues the persecution of Israel. There will be 10 kings who will head 10 separate governments from 10 separate capitals inside the Roman Empire in the days of the second coming of Christ. Let me read that again so it kind of hits home. There will be 10 kings who will head 10 separate governments from 10 separate capitals inside the Roman Empire in the days of the second coming of Christ. And they are symbolized by feet and toes of iron and clay on the image. The 10 horns on the nondescript beast. The 10 kingdoms will be revised Roman Empire. And they will be formed inside the old Roman territory. There will be 10 kingdoms instead of one empire. And it will not be the revived Roman Empire as such teach. Daniel saw a little horn growing out of the 10 horns. This horn plucked up the 3 of the 10 horns, the kingdoms from Daniel's day. These kingdoms are Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and the old Roman Empire. It is stated in Daniel 7 that the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise. 4 of the 10 kings will be committed to the Antichrist. And then the other 6 will also agree to give their power to this little horn. This little horn arises after the 10 kingdoms are in existence. I said this little horn arises after the 10 kingdoms are in existence. Now I want to stop there a minute. I want to read you something. Because the word that you have here in Revelation is talking about today. We are in the end times. You don't think so? Well, I'll read you this. Got to make sure. Just give me a second here and I make sure I get the right. Yeah, here we go. Praise Jesus. Is the EU, European Union, is the EU the revised Roman Empire? Is it? Daniel's chapter 2 and 7 reveal a strong connection between the formation of the European Union and the end time scripture. The possibility of fulfillment of this scripture began in 1950 when the Roman Empire began to show signs of being revived. In 1950, the European coal and steel community was proposed as a means of achieving economic unification in Europe following the war. The hope was that this would strengthen economic trade in Europe. This unified effort led to the signing of a Treaty of Rome in 1957, which established the European Economic Community, EEC, and the European Atomic Energy Council. That treaty was taken a step further when the signing of the Brussels Treaty in 1965. The Brussels Treaty began the process of rebuilding the old Roman Empire. Through reunification of the European states under one political system, one economic system, and eventually under the protection of one military force. The treaty established a commission, council, parliament and court for the Union. The revived Roman Empire prophesied in the Bible as well as on its way is becoming a reality. So Daniel talked about this. Revelation talked about this. And it's here. So when we read this stuff, this is not just something as a story. This actually is taking place. The old Roman Empire, the revised Roman Empire, lives. It's living today. And all these countries, there are actually 10. There's actually 28. But the rule of those that have the power are 10. So you can see how the word's coming true. In the vision of Daniel 8, we see a symbolic ram and a he-goat, the ram being Medo-Persia, and the he-goat symbolizing the Grecian Empire. The he-goat had his horn broken off, and in its place grew four horns. This relates to the death of Alexander the Great, who founded the old Grecian Empire. After his death, four men took over. Any study of ancient history will reveal that the division of Greece after Alexander the Great died, each one of his former generals took the rule over it. Each area. Cassandra took Greece, and Macedon got Asia Minor, which is the present Turkey, and Thrace. Seleucus ruled in Syria and Babylon. Ptolemy took Egypt. These four divisions are today's Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. The Antichrist, the little horn, will come out of one of those four horns. The purpose of Daniel 7 and 8 is to narrow the geographical boundaries of the coming of the Antichrist. And according to Daniel 8, he will come from Greece, Turkey, Syria, or Egypt. Not from the Vatican, Italy, Germany, Russia, or some other such place. Daniel 11 gives us a vision of the wars between the four concerned areas of the Grecian Empire, Syria, and Egypt. These wars covered approximately 150 years and ended with the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, who ruled about 165 BC. Reference is then made to the end of time, picturing war between Syria and Egypt. Syria is the king of the north, and in this vision, Egypt is called the king of the south. And Daniel 11 identifies the Antichrist as the king of the north, which is Syria. So the king of the north, the little horn, Daniel 7, the prince that shall come, Daniel 9, the son of perdition, the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians, and the beast in Revelation 13 all refer to the Antichrist. These characteristics are all correspondent, and we conclude that many references involved pertain to the Antichrist who will eventually come from Syria. In this teaching, he believes that he will come from Syria. It would have to come from the EEC, or the common markets of the country. It would have to come from the 10 toes or the 10 countries. The Antichrist would not become prominent in the world affairs, I found this interesting, until after the formation of the 10 kingdoms. Well, there are 28 in the European common market. Supposedly they don't have the 10 prominent to rule, but they have 28 countries that are members of the European common market. He will rise and attain the whole 10 in his first half of the Great Tribulation. He will be recognized as the beast of Revelation 13 by the middle of the week. He will come out of seclusion and rise to power quickly. The Antichrist will first reign in Babylon. And during part of the last 3.5 years, he will reign in Jerusalem, in the glorious holy mountain. The temple will be rebuilt. I don't know about you guys, but Israel just made an announcement. And you can go on YouTube and listen to it. They announced the rebuilding of the temple. So you know how close we are. And this is where the abomination of desolation will take place. Each of the 10 kingdoms will have its own capital and king until the middle of the week, when they will establish a central throne for the empire, which will be newly formed. The 10 kings will continue to rule this kingdom, but their rule will be under the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be a real person. Antichrist is not going to come out of the sea. as a beast. The Antichrist is a real person. He will have outstanding natural gifts and attract much interest and response. He will not be the devil incarnate, but is the executive of Satan's power. His power will come from Satan, which is the spirit of hell, the spirit of the abyss. Satan and his agents will give their power to the beast and inspire him in his evil designs. The ten kings will also give their power and support. Normally, rulers do not give up their power, but during the last half of the Great Tribulation period, these ten kings are going to give their power to the beast. Well, they will, because they can't trade. They can't eat. They actually don't have no power if they don't join the EU or join the Antichrist. Actually, Satan is going to give to the Antichrist what he offered Jesus in the fourth chapter of Matthew. Isn't that interesting? He's nothing but a counterfeit. This evil one is a counterfeit. He don't know any better. He don't have no new ideas or nothing. He is counterfeiting the kingdom of God. He's just a counterfeit. He wants worshiped. And this is why the Antichrist will rise and take over and abuse Jerusalem and abuse all the Jews, because he wants worship. He wants that bad. He'll give anything for worship. Talk about pride. Why was Satan thrown out of the kingdom of God? Because of pride. And here it is again. It's showing up even in the Antichrist. Satan told Jesus that if you would fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Of course, Jesus turned him down, but the Antichrist will accept it, and then he will fight to possess it. The Antichrist will pursue his world conquest by conquering the old revised Roman Empire by the middle of the tribulation period. He will also conquer more northern and eastern countries of Asia and Europe during the last half of the tribulation period. Other nations will cooperate with him. God will allow him, will allow them to form a conglomerate and a kingdom. I was going back to Daniel 7, but for the sake of time, you can read that. I mean, Daniel 7 really points out what's going on in chapter 13 of Revelation. Daniel actually nailed it right on, right what's going on. How did he do that all them years ago? Seeing that vision, and it was right on. I mean, that is powerful stuff. So that's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. The extent of the Antichrist reign, it was given, and we're going to read Revelations 13, 7 to 10. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So in other words, those are leading God's people into captivity are going to be captive themselves. Those that kill with the sword are going to die by the sword. And those that have the patience and the faith of the saints of God will inherit the kingdom of God. A portion of Scripture speaks of the Antichrist making war with the saints and of his power of all kindreds and tongues and nations. What will be the extent of the Antichrist's reign? This depends on the usage of the word all. Because I remember having this discussion, is the United States going to be affected by the Antichrist? Now, in this rendering, it says that, what will be the extent of the Antichrist's reign? Well, this depends on the usage of the word all. If it means all in most exclusive sense, it will involve every individual in the world. If it is taken to mean all that God has in mind as far as the decree is concerned, then it will be basically involve 10 kingdoms in the old Rome. The figure of speech involving the usage of the word all in chapter 13, It's called a a synecdoche. This is where part is put in for the whole, or the whole for a part. There are many examples in scriptures in this usage. Like in Genesis 6, it says that all flesh, everything with the breath of God, was going to die. However, Noah and his family did not die, as well as all the animals in the ark. All the animals didn't die. They were exempted. When Jericho was destroyed, it was utterly destroyed, all that was in the city, but of course we know that Rahab was spared. And all the house of Israel played before the Lord, but that doesn't mean that everybody played an instrument, so all was inclusive, but it wasn't all. So that's the point he's trying to get across here. In view of these instances, we see that sometimes the word all is used only to include those individuals or that group for which purpose it was intended, and it does not include everyone or everything everywhere. There are hundreds of examples to demonstrate this. When they had the Muslim caliphate, when they started their own personal war, their religious war, technically it didn't come over here. But it did come over here as sometimes cell groups that were already over here. You get my point? And then there were mock crimes, like as if they were a cell. So I think that with the Antichrist, that probably what's going to happen, there's going to be fake Antichrist, right, and you'll see them over here, and they'll cause trouble. Mm-hmm. But are we going to be? I don't think we're going to be really in to see what's going to be going on. But we will feel the ripple effect. Amen. So we will know. I'm just hoping that this government doesn't bow down. We don't know that. All we know that the Antichrist is going to rule and he's going to take over the European common market. Now, there's going to be some that's not going to be in his hand, because it says, if you remember about the woman, that she was saved when she was flying like an eagle. She was saved in Moab. So there's still going to be certain areas that he's not going to control. So here we go. It's not going to be all, because all is not going to be inclusive of every one. There's going to be still people that don't even hear of the Antichrist, because there's people now that don't even hear of Jesus, which I found that quite unique, that in chapter 14, he's going to have an angel actually fly through the heavens that every man will see and say, "Worship the Lord. He is creator of heaven and earth." So it's going to be a wonder, but every eye shall see that angel come across and declare that Jesus is Lord. I found that interesting. So I want you to get this about the Antichrist. Though he's going to rule and though he's going to plunder, I don't think we're going to see that here. We might see somewhat, but I don't. We're not going to be here anyways. We have gone in chapter 4. So you should caution people that are going to be here, because if they don't know of Christ or if they don't, they're going to be fooled, because he's going to use tricks. Fire coming out of heaven, right, to make them bow down and worship him. So it's very important that we talk to whom we have opportunity to talk to, because it's not going to be a happy time. I still think when the asteroid hits the one ocean, and when another asteroid comes down and takes out the fresh water, I think we are going to be affected. So there's going to be ripple effects that this nation will be affected. But because we too have to get those in here that don't know Christ be born again, because God loves all men, and not all men love God, but God wishes that all men will be saved. So will United States of America be affected? Possibly, with cell groups and mock crimes. Will the Antichrist rule over here? I don't think so. But again, that's opinion. We don't know. Some students of prophecy believe that the Antichrist will rule America, will dictate the actions of every single human being in the world. And if they do not take the mark of the beast, they will be executed. Revelation 13 sets up apparent limits to the kingdom of Antichrist, and it doesn't by and large include America. Rather, it will be the old Roman Empire. We talked about that, revived in a modified form. When John stood up on the sand of the sea and saw the beast, which means the Antichrist, rise out of the sea does not mean the ocean. It means a great masses of people. The beast has 7 heads and 10 horns. Upon 10 horns were crowns. This involved 10 kings. The number is specific. When the word all is used here, it is speaking of the whole matter being discussed. The Bible is not contradicting itself. It must be understood that the 10 kingdoms are in the area around the Mediterranean Sea. In Daniel 11, it is found that when the Antichrist comes to power and breaks the 7-year covenant with the Jews and enters Israel into the middle of the 7 years, he is given power over the 10 kingdoms. The 10 kingdoms will include Greece, Italy, Israel, Egypt, Assyria, and plus others. The Antichrist will actually come from Syria. He will make a will or a decree that all must worship him. The Bible says that many countries in Daniel 9 shall be overthrown. It doesn't say that all countries shall be overthrown. Even Edom and Moab and the chief of the tribe of Ammon will escape the Antichrist, the border right next to the kingdom. It is conceivable that other countries across the vast ocean and those inhabiting islands and seas and other parts of the world would escape him, at least to some degree. It appears evident from the scriptures that he will not reign exclusively over every single individual in the entire world. The main part of the nations of Israel and Judah will flee from the Antichrist when he breaks his covenant in the middle of the tribulation period. And the Bible says that they will flee to Edom and Moab. A place of protection is prepared in that area for them, and they are protected from the Antichrist during this time. The Edomites really were nasty. And it amazes me that God would use Moab and Edom for a refuge, because Moab, actually, they took their children and then they offered them on the altar. I mean, they literally murdered children on the name of sacrifice. But God sought to save his people through Edom and Moab, a place of protection. The Antichrist will conquer many countries. The Bible says, however, in Daniel 11, that the tidings out of the east and the north will trouble him, and he will go forth with fury and destroy and stand against them which are opposing him. I found that interesting too, that his own people will oppose him, you know, and make war with him. But he's going to turn around and get sidetracked and go back and make war with them. So here they go. You know, this is now it's setting up Armageddon. Zechariah in his book teaches that many people, even within the empire of the Antichrist as well as outside of it, will not take the mark of the beast and still will not be killed. He speaks of battle between the Jews and Jerusalem and many nations, between the Jews and Jerusalem and many nations under the Antichrist. He goes on to state that it will come to pass that everyone that is left, notice the comment, that is left of all the nations that come against Jerusalem shall go up year to year and worship the King of the Lord of Hosts to keep feast of the tabernacles. Even everybody worshiping the Antichrist, they would be destroyed and could not do this. So there was people left even then. But I find it interesting that we will be with Christ for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, he's going to release Satan out of the abyss and go and have an uprising again to where there's going to be people stand up against God even after 1,000 years. Yeah. So you see, you don't know the heart. And here, even the remnants, even though it all didn't include all, there still was some in that all that still had a heart of pride for themselves. So, and they were, after 1,000-year reign, were taken out. Amen? Let's see here. Of course, here we go again. The Antichrist will formulate a law that all his 10 kingdoms must take the mark and worship him or be killed. However, war with countries of the north and the east will keep him occupied. So How are you going to enforce a mark when you're going to war with your own people? So God's caused conflict and chaos in the camp to keep the Antichrist busy. So him saying this decree doesn't mean it's going to happen. Many will not even be aware of the Antichrist. There will be multitudes in the millennium who have not even heard of Christ. Missionaries will go out from Jerusalem proclaiming Christ's reign in Jerusalem, and many will go to see whether it's true. Just as many have not heard of Jesus in some 19-plus centuries, many will not know of the Antichrist in 3.5 years. The Bible teaches that there will be some sheep, nations, to go in the millennium under Christ. There are people where the nations would not cooperate with the Antichrist in trying to destroy Israel. Other scriptures, such as Revelation 13, cannot be understood if all the world and the Antichrist, only 10 kingdoms, have given them power and allegiance to him. He will try, though, to use the supernatural powers to get others to cooperate with him in Armageddon. According to Revelation 14, every person that takes the mark of the beast and worships him is damned to hell. Once you take that mark, it's like selling your soul. Once you take that in your forehead or wrist, you're selling your soul. There's no redemption. There's no redemption. And the Bible says that when you go to hell, it's a smoke from your burning. You will burn for eternity. And that's, you know, you'll continue for eternity. So it's a decision that when you're hungry, like I said, and when you know you're going to be excluded, but it's a decision for Christ. Right. This is not real. Once we get deceived that this is all there is, then we sell our soul to the devil. I can see a lot of Hollywood actors, too, that act the way they do because they have sold their soul to Satan. You can tell. You know. They roll their eyes a certain way. They sold out for money. So we have to be vigilant. We have to keep our eyes on Christ. And our love is God's love. How do we give that love? We give that love out by telling them that you need Christ in your life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have a foundation. There was a statement Tim made. It says, how, knowing that we go through trials and tribulations, and it's a little hard for us at times, but we go through with Christ. Well, how does the world go through them things and not have Christ? And, you know, one of the answers was they may depend on substances. They may depend on other people for giving them advice. But we listen to our God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to keep you long. I'm going to do a part two on this because Wednesday nights, I mean, praise God, you're here. Amen. And I was good sharing this with you about the beast. We're going to get into a little more next time. And God bless you. And I'll pray for anybody that wants to come up and have prayer tonight. Thank you for coming out. Hallelujah.